to also acknowledge the traditional custodians of the land, the Kariyarra people, which we stand on. Thank you, everybody. Welcome. Item two, recording attendance and apologies. We have elected members Mayor Kelly Howlett and Councillor Jan Gillingham as the presiding deputy member, Councillor Julie Hunt, Councillor Lorraine Butson, and our community members, Ms. Florence Bennett as an apologies, and also Dr. Ken Kinn is also a late apology today. So could you please note the apologies? Thank you. 2.3, approved leave of absence. We do have Councillor Rory Jacob, our presiding member, who is on approved leave of absence. Item 3, response to previous questions taken on notice. 3.1, questions from public at Airport Committee meeting held on Wednesday the 13th of August 2014. There was nil. 3.2, questions from committee members at Airport Committee meeting held on Wednesday the 13th of August 2014. 3.2.1, presiding member Jacob asked what is happening with the exterior landscaping of the airport, and the answer there is just underneath that. Item 4, public time. I'd like to note that this meeting is being recorded on audio tape as an additional record of the meeting and to assist with minute-taking purposes which may be released upon request to third parties. If you do not give permission for recording your participation, please indicate this at the meeting. The public is also reminded that in accordance with Section 20.3 of the Town of Port Hedland Local Law on Standing Orders, nobody shall use any visual or vocal electronic device or instrument to record the proceedings of any meeting unless that person has been given permission by the presiding member to do so. So welcome to the public. This is now 4.1 public question time, and do we have any questions from our public gallery? All right, welcome to Brad and welcome to Jason this afternoon. Thank you for coming. So if we have no questions from the public gallery, I'd like to close public question time. And 4.2, public statement time, open public statement time. And do we have any statements from the public gallery? No statements from the public gallery. Thank you, gentlemen. So closing 4.2, public statement time, and I go on to item 5. Do we have any questions from members without notice? I'd like to go around left of my table, so Mayor Howlett.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Just a couple of questions. In regards to our airport website, is there anything that we could do to help so that the website is a little bit more informative and more updated?
Question for us. I think we may have to take that on notice, but thank you, CEO.
Not sure whether this is in relation to the redevelopment program or other information specifically.
Yeah, just looking at the website. So it is particularly around the redevelopment and how, as an organisation, this is a significant investment. We should be very proud and showcasing it. The latest update on the website is dated the 22nd of August. If you try and click on it, it actually says that file isn't found and you can't see it. So then you click under the banner that goes onto the photo, and that was dated the 23rd of June. Now, I know there's a lot of stuff happening out there, and I'd like to see something. If you need me to take a photo every week to help, then I'm happy to do that. I just want to get it out there.
Sure, yeah, that's necessary. So through the chair, I'm not sure if there's any interaction with our current website upgrades. I can just check with the director.
Only in the sense that the bulk of resources in terms of website communication has been focused on the new Town of Port Hedland website, which went live on Monday. I think more broadly, we need to understand how an update in one can link to an automatic update on the other, and probably revisit whether we want the Port Hedland International Airport with a separate website or embedded in part of the town's new website. If maintaining two is too resource heavy, then I think we need to look at how we can just have it run through the line.
Thank you.
So can I still, knowing that that has been answered, can I still take it on board about an improvement process or an improvement plan to up our communication and whether we are going to just have the one website or do something that makes this website good? And can we actually, is there an opportunity to have a photo a week or a photo a fortnight, like on Facebook as well, like on our town site, saying what's happening out there?
Yes.
So I think that's really possible, yes.
Could that start this week or next week?
If I may, through the chair, that is actually supposed to already be happening. So we do our weekly updates that go out to all stakeholders. And then our marketing team then puts translates that into, I guess, a Facebook-friendly update. I think that has been happening more fortnightly rather than weekly. I think it was probably 2 weeks
or
ago that the last one went out.
I think the point of the mayor is it's not finding its way back to the airport website. So it's going out on Facebook, it's going out on an email list, but it's not getting back onto the Port Ellis International Airport website.
But I don't think it's also being reflected on our town Facebook that much, and I appreciate it is happening, and it's probably happened twice, but that's not as much as what it could be since the 23rd of June. So I just really, really want to see us up that communication if we can, and happy to help. My last question is around what are the plans this year for Christmas decorations at the airport? And are we having a competition with all the little people out there, the car hires, the cafe people? Are we doing something so they Christmas and festive themed their areas as well? Happy to help with that competition too.
Oh, that's an excellent idea. CEO?
I'm not sure what's been done in terms of our current Christmas decorations, given the terminal will be, the most interim work should be completed by end of October, middle of October.
Yep.
So we should be in a position to festivise the top.
I guess we certainly could. We don't necessarily have decorations that we could put up now, and we do have a separate program to work on decorations for the town. To get new decorations for the town. That budget, I suppose, is quite limited. I'm not sure how far we can stretch it. But certainly something we could look at.
$200 of tinsel and a tree, like just something and a star. Like, and just that's what I'm saying about encouraging the other shop, commercial operators, retailers out there. If Avis has a star and Hertz has a star and the Blue Moons or whoever they are have something, then... just all helps. We don't have to decorate the whole premises.
So you,
Can we take that on notice? I'm sure that we can do something out there.
I'm sure there is a Christmas tree in that storeroom or something.
Now, Mayor Hallett, were you still interested in having some form of a competition with the
Very
businesses out there?
Yes.
And what sort of prize could we sort of be thinking of?
I'll take that on notice.
Would you? That'd be good.
I'm just worried because the next meeting is going to be in December or something. I'm making sure we're ready.
Well, I think that's an excellent idea, isn't it? Yeah, if we could do that.
Thank you. All right, thank you.
Any more?
Oh, no, that's it.
Councillor Hunt.
Nothing.
Nothing.
Okay.
Thank you. Councillor Watson.
Nothing presiding.
All right. And any other members around the table that would like to? Okay. Thank you. I don't have any questions there. Thank you. So, item 6, declaration by members to have given due consideration to all matters contained in the business paper presented before the meeting. Can I have a show of hands, please? Okay. And that was 4-0. Yes, thank you. Item 7, confirmation of minutes of previous meeting. 7.1, confirmation of minutes of the Airport Committee meeting held on Wednesday, the 13th of August 2014. That council confirmed the minutes of the airport committee meeting held on Wednesday, the 13th of August 2014, are true and correct. Are a true and correct record, and a simple majority vote requires. So, do I have a mover?
Happy to move.
No, thank you, Mayor Hallett. Seconded, Councillor Hunt. All those in favour? Okay, let the record show. Thank you. Item 8. Just. Announced by presenting my member without discussion. Sorry, I don't really have any announcements. As I'm your presiding member just for our meeting, I have had no other information come forward from presiding member, Deputy Mayor Jacob. So I will go on then to item 9, petitions, deputations, presentations, submissions. And we do have... presentation 9.1 from Brett Rees, our Programme Director at Airport Redevelopment. So take it away, Mr. Rees. Thank you.
Good afternoon, everyone.
What I'd like to take everyone through today is the Virgin Australia International Services Strategy and the matrix within Virgin Australia. Very brief touch on the redevelopment strategy and what that means for the redevelopment strategy, and an update on the business improvement program and what's happening in the general project. So, as we all know, Virgin Australia approached us regarding their open charter service, wanting to turn that into an RPT, regular public transport service. This means that you can depart Port Hedland, from Hedland, go to Bali, and then from Bali onto anywhere else, and then come back in by any other port in Australia. So you no longer have the requirement to depart and arrive through Port Hedland. This posed some challenges for us because they also wanted to swap their service around. The current practice is that the aircraft arrives empty and departs with international passengers and then arrives later on with arriving passengers. They only wanted to arrive with international passengers, which we then have to process, and then depart with the passengers back to Bali service. The issue around the change in service has been slot availability at the Denpasar Airport end. So there is a increasing demand on slot availability at that end, and this is required, and this means that the aircraft can't sit on the ground for 14 hours as it currently does today. So it's now a faster turnaround time, and they want to do a 2-hour turnaround when they arrive in Port Hedland. In addition to this, they want to move to a 737-800 service because the route economics of that aircraft, they think, are more favourable. They also think that given the current loads, that it could be supported by a larger aircraft, so this is all very positive. So we currently have loads that seem to be sitting around the 80%. Around that 80%, we're getting 80 to 90 passengers pretty regularly. There's a 100-seat aircraft. That also presents some challenges for us in terms of our existing terminal space and processing areas for the CRQ, customs, immigration, and quarantine, particularly just around their particular processing areas, particularly secondary area more than anything else. So we need to increase the international area. Current layout is 240 square metres. We have an option 8, yes, believe it or not, we've had 8 options that we've worked through to try and accommodate this service. And we've undertaken a function review. Council approved the reallocation of capital from the Northern Maitland budget to the terminal budget so that we could accommodate the changes in this operational requirements. And we've done a functional review to determine that what we planned and the concept we come up with, functional work. Okay, so as part of the functional review, we've considered an alternate layout which doesn't involve the existing operations building. Now, the reason we've done this is because, I do have option 8 up here to talk to you and just to familiarise yourself with, which I'll go through, but there are some risks in going into the operations building around asbestos and building compliance and fire ratings. And so we undertake substantial work in the operations building. There could be substantial delays in undertaking those works. And given that Virgin Australia is putting a lot of pressure on us to deliver this outcome as quickly as possible, their preference being before the end of this year, but to do it as quickly as possible has certainly been the dialogue between us and them, then we have thought, well, let's think outside the box and how else can we deliver this. Preserve and reuse existing hardpoints. So in other words, to fast track this program, let's try and not move toilets and relocate toilets because that's quite time consuming in terms of construction. Provide appropriate amenity for departing and arrivals function, so let's look at the functionality. Minimise rework within the existing terminal once again to try and fast track the program. Seek a solution which could contribute positively to the staging of the ultimate terminal expansion, so when we get to the new terminal expansion, it is something that facilitates that staging. And there's a desire to minimise international aircraft turnaround times to keep it within that 2-hour window, and a desire to simplify the security suite of the terminal. So when you're going from an inwards immigration function, the passengers that arrive internationally are deemed not to be screened by OTS. So that requires a security suite of the area before you can swap it over. We have factored that into our timeframes, but if we can minimise that requirement for a security suite, then we can actually make sure that we're going to meet our time frames. So, the current layout, the way it's functioning, I guess, today, is this is your primary module, so this is your outwards and inwards immigration, providing the two functions. We've got two lanes. It takes 40 seconds a passenger to process in those two lanes, so currently it's these announcements with the process entirely there. But currently, as the way the operation works today, that works quite fine. This opens an hour and a half before the aircraft departs. Everyone comes into this area. There is a folding seating that we put out there for that service that everyone sits on. Then they depart through this door through here and on the aircraft. When they arrive, we actually close this area of the lounge through here. We put our sensor barriers up and they queue through here and then come back through and process through here, pick up their bags here and go through the secondary processing here. That all works very well for the current sized aircraft we currently have, but for the larger aircraft, that space is also insufficient. So this is option A. This is the option that was endorsed by council at the last council meeting. So under this operation, for an arriving aircraft, it would arrive, passengers would disembark, they would queue through this area through here. This concertina wall and this concertina wall will be open. We now have four processing lanes, two primary modules. That allows passengers to be processed within half an hour. They would then traverse through what is the departure lounge, walk through these walls through here, and then they would reclaim their bags via this belt. There has been a slight reconfiguration because we wanted to get both sides of the belt access, so we could double the access to the belt. We originally had that sitting in this area here. So that once they've reclaimed their belts, we probably wouldn't have these doors. This would probably be open. It's just showing the doors at the moment. But they come through here, and then enter the processing area. So you would have your x-rays. You have an opportunity to use the toilets here. You have an opportunity to use the toilets here. And you have your x-ray units, and you have your primary desks through here. And then you would go out through this side of the terminal. So this is the plan that we tested. So we tested this functionality and the timelines on this plan. So we've appointed a group with Raveline Consulting, who are experts in this area and have been testing the functionality. So, now this is a bit rough at this stage, but this is what we're looking to now form up into a final concept and to write a functional brief on and take to the market. So, just before I do go to that, I'll just quickly describe, the departure function. So, once you've got your passengers in here with this door closed, you then open these walls here, and you've already had your passengers that have been coming through screening and they've started to accumulate in the cafe and in this departure lounge here. Once this open, they can come through here and be screened, and then they can congregate in this area here ready for departures. So once we finish the arrivals processing, it's about 30 minutes, we then do a security sweep through here to make sure it's secure from a screening perspective. And then say allow 10 minutes for that, then we're open here, and we're opening an hour and 20 minutes before the aircraft departs. Still within allowances, and then it allows us to board passengers as they come through at their own pace through this screening point. So that's how that was working today. So functionally, it does work. From the appointment of the consultants and looking at the technical review, that this was all based around fast-tracking this whole project. So still very similar. And as I said, look, all very high level at this stage, but still very similar, and this is the concept we're looking to finalise. An arriving passenger now would come through here. So they come through here and they come around here, and the primary modules are now down here. This allows quite a considerable queuing length for passengers. So we can guarantee that we can get 176 passengers, if it's 100% full, off the tarmac and into this processing area through here. They have the same four modules that come through here and into here, and then they're reclaimed here, and then they go through processing through here. We're still using this building in terms of some existing offices upstairs and the like for administration areas, for customs, immigration and quarantine, so there's very little work to be done in this building now. So this facility is basically a shed, which would be lined obviously appropriately, but can be fast-tracked and constructed very, very quickly. They then exit through here, and there's an existing pathway through here, but we would need to obviously do some work through here just to make it a better experience, and then they can depart and come through here. Once the last passengers come through here, and we've closed those doors, these doors in here and in here, this is just an airlock in here, is opened, and so from the cafe they can then come through, and they come through immigration through here for departures, in through here, in through into the departure lounge. Now they still through here, the toilets haven't moved in this location through here, so we've minimised the work in the toilets through here, and we've made this lounge much bigger in terms of space and size. So they can then depart from that lounge through here. So we have a meeting with Raybine Consulting this afternoon to talk about these concepts and to talk about the aircraft parking positions. One of the reasons we weren't looking at an external lightweight constructed facility was because of aircraft parking positions. So, but if we move away from building a modular facility which has its constraints around existing dimensions, then we can actually squeeze and shape the building to actually fit in there. So that's where we're currently sitting today. And from here, what we're looking to do is we've engaged with the border agencies again, and we're looking to finalise a functional brief and concept, which will then go to the market for a design and construct. And this can be delivered very quickly. I'm happy to take questions on this before we move on.
So the border agencies, have they got the staff to do this, to move to the next level of a bigger plane and four stations there?
Yeah, this is part of the engagement with Virgin Australia. Mm-hmm. So Virgin Australia has made application to Customs Immigration and Quarantine, what we call CIQ, and so through their agency has made the application to move to this larger RPT service. And as part of that negotiation, they advise Virgin on the staffing levels and the staffing they will require. I think currently they bring two staff members in, they fly them in for the current service, and so this will require, I think, an additional two.
That's what I thought. If you've got four stations, you need four people, obviously.
Yes.
So we now, they don't have an interview room or anything like that now in the case they need to interview people?
Oh, yes, they will. Yes. Look, it's very, very high level at this stage, but yes, they will. They'll have administration functions through here, and within this facility, it will be sized to accommodate an interview room. I think we've included an interview room here. So there'll be two points of interview. One point would be at immigration, if you've got some questions you need to take a passenger of interest away to have a conversation with them. You can do that here. But they'll also be incorporated in here, an interview room as well. So that if you have an issue at the secondary inspection, be that customs or immigration, quarantine, should I say, you would take them away to an interview room in there. So that would be sized. The beauty of this is lightweight construction. We can size that. We can go that way.
Okay. And within this process, just say, for instance, it does take a little bit longer to get the 170. Is there any seating there for people to sit down if they've got little kids or anything like that, and within that coming through?
Within here, you would include seating, as we do today. So you would include seating in either this end or probably both sides. And certainly you have seating, obviously, here. That's departure. One of the things we are considering is a retail space in there, which would offer duty-free as well. And the current operator who's just been awarded the contract at Karratha actually has that duty-free function available. So there is a potential to actually add some retail in there, which would be used books, duty-free type offer. But also that would then serve domestically as a news and books type offer as well. So look, at this stage it's just an early conversation.
So the retail rep is only really for outgoing passengers?
The retail, yeah, it's basically the departure
lounge. Because it's in the departure lounge in that section there, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. So whether it's worthwhile. The way you then handle...
No, it's okay. I was just asking.
Yeah.
I was looking at them coming in from... Yeah.
You can organise a pickup point. The way some airports do it is they have the one facility, you buy this stuff as you're going out that you're going to collect on the way back in,
yes.
And you just have a collection point where you show your receipt, you collect your bag, it's all securely zipped up and the like.
So that's something that possibly could...
Yeah, it can be provided. Look, I've seen it done at other airports, so you can provide it as an arrivals area. And it's just a little area that you provide, people pick stuff up.
Sure.
Yeah.
And on your drawings that you had before you changed the baggage reclaim so that walkway is no longer needed because of this new plan, you're going to have an outside walkway to get to that.
Yeah, because we're now entering at this point through here. Because before we had them coming here, and we had them coming here, and we had a baggage belt here when we were looking at the external facility.
Yep. Yes.
The issue that was causing was the parking limitation area.
By
a bit of reconfiguration through here, without moving toilets and the like, we've been able to accommodate that, getting passengers off the apron as quickly as possible, particularly in the summertime, so they're in an air-conditioned environment.
Thank you. Any other questions on the diagrams there before we move on a little bit further?
Okay, thank you. I've just got this one slide up just to remind everyone of our overarching redevelopment strategy, which went to council about mid this year. So we've got our interim improvements program. This fits within the interim improvements program. We've got the services to establish, electricity, water, and wastewater services to be established, and the strategic review outcomes, the place plan and the governance review. So this actually impacts the strategic review outcomes. So in terms of our project priorities, this now will buy us more time in the terminal. Once we finalise the concept, we'll have a service of level review done on that concept to determine how much time that actually buys us. And that will then tell us at what point we trigger the new terminal. The interim program looks like buying us over 5 years, so we just need to test that, which is what we will do. What it's also meant is that we can look at relocating the operations team as part of this works program, and they could be relocated either into a modular facility or either into a permanent facility, which is going to be in the Golden Wing area, which will involve a conversation with the general aviation operator in that area there regarding their future plans. We have provision within our agreements to actually redevelop that site, but it does involve the relocation and the build of a new hangar for them at commercial terms, if we want to do that. What this has meant is that we've been able to push out the Northern Apron expansion program into the following period, because we're reallocated those budgets so that we can then afford to do the international terminal program. And as Janella said, we're going to be catching up and talking about project priorities and just re-looking at all of those things. So the document that's been developed and is now a nice glossy document that's sitting in my bag, it is always meant to be a live document. It was always meant to be one that would change as we went forward because priorities do change. That document I'm going to revisit and review again based on what's come out of Virgin Australia and the like.
And what we touched on yesterday, Brett, was the Northern Apron, that's on the RFDS side, the Royal Flying Doctor side.
Yep. So that was a $5 million budget, so we've taken $1 million out of that budget, but we're actually going to revisit and look at that apron expansion. We're still going to do, obviously, use that, sorry, it's now $4 million, so we've still got $4 million. So we'll still be looking at that and looking at how we can accommodate that for allowing for expansion.
Yes.
In the future.
Well, thank you.
Are there any other questions?
Any other questions there? No.
Okay, I'll just in terms of the interim program, so the terminal secure area, the works commenced in June this year. They are due to be completed in mid-October. The departure toilets, I think, are going to be open this week, late this week?
No, they're doing the tiling on the departure toilets, so they're probably still at least a week off finishing those toilets because they'll have to do the full fit out after that. Yeah, so tiling.
They still have to do plumbing and stuff, don't they?
Sorry?
They still have to do the plumbing?
Well, the plumbing pre-lays in, but after the tiling, they'll put all the fixtures in and benches and things like that.
Okay. Yep. So we're still about a week away.
Week and a half. So.
Okay, so that's where that's sitting at, and the external area, I think that's about a week away as well.
The external cafe, the painting should be finished tonight. They're actually going to finish off the painting. Where they're then able then to open that area back up to the cafe operation so they can use it. The benches and things like that won't be in yet, but we can put some tables and chairs out there so it just gives more space to use. When they install the benches, it'll be an overnight thing, so it won't impact on whether the cafe can be used or not. So that can be handed over fairly soon.
And I think the next step now is to start actually in the departure lounge area with the works that are going to happen in the departure lounge area.
Correct. So I think it's on next Sunday night. They're actually going to start looking at that whole departures and cafe area. They'll be able to start taking down some of the wall that currently separates that sterile zone. And they'll have to put up temporary walls to maintain that sterile zone throughout the process. But because that wall actually is where we're going to be putting up a new concertina door and new benches for the cafe, we need to just move that out a little bit to be able to work through that area, plus do all new tiling through there as well. So they'll be starting on that early next week.
So Brett, if I could just ask Janella about the lead light coloured glass, is that remaining where it is or is it being moved?
It's going to be relocated. Yeah. So that actually comes down where you come through the screening point now, and there is the wall that separates the screening point from gate 1 and 2. Mm-hmm. A part of that wall is actually coming down at the very end of it, and the lead lighting will be replaced in that area. So it's a feature as soon as you walk through that screening point.
Oh, okay.
Now they found the missing panel?
I believe so. Yeah, I think it was in the workshop.
Oh, great.
Good. That's good.
Thank you. Thanks, Brett.
Yeah, I didn't even know there was a missing panel until it was found, actually.
Yes.
Oh, it's been brought up a few times that there's a missing panel.
All right, okay. So that's where we're at with the interim improvement program for the terminal, increase the secure area. In terms of the bus parking, and we talked earlier about the ground transport, and you know, Janelle mentioned the second exit of the short-term car park and the roundabout that we're looking at building, and this bus park all fits into the long-term ultimate plan for our ground transport plan. So these are elements that we're starting to put in place that are all part of the long-term plan. So pleased to say that project has been finished. The buses have trialled the new parking area. They're very happy with it, and we finalised the line marking, and that's all been put in place, and that is now complete and is being used. I think the next thing we probably should look at is putting up some signs just to denote as a bus parking.
The signs have all been ordered, so they're probably on site now, so it's literally just a matter of installing them.
I think that was the last piece, but that is essentially completed, and it's working well. And with the increased security and concerns around, you know, with our elevated security alerts, we are expecting things to come out from OTS in terms of, you know, vehicles in front of terminals and stuff like that. And this is a step in that direction to take these particular vehicles away from the terminal. So it meets those requirements. In terms of the terminal painting, I've got the being programmed in stages.
Yep. So we're starting, Jackson are actually... originally we had the Jackson scope of work, which was for the secure area extension. We had the painting taken out of their scope because we were going to do the whole terminal at the time. Because now we've done the review and worked out there are other elements of the terminal that probably need a fair bit of building maintenance before we can slap a coat of paint on, we've brought that scope back into the Jackson's work. So all of that area will be fresh and new and painted throughout that secure area. We're then looking at, I guess, the next quick win in terms of most of the internal walls of the terminal are actually in really good condition, so we've got a scope ready to go out to get quotes to that internal section, and then it's largely the external section where we have historically had issues with roof and gutters leaking and causing problems with some of the eaves panels and things like that, which then have caused problems with the external finishes. So we just really want to tidy those up before we can paint that section as well. But again, it's all part of, I guess, this whole program of works that we're going through and prioritising as well.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you, Janelle. So just in terms of the public art, the art installation, and as well as interior and exterior, the consultant that we had appointed to undertake the expressions of interest to get the local artists and the like, particularly for the external area, to do the artwork, and also to look at the virtual gallery that we were going to do inside the terminal, has just advised that she's moving back to Perth in a couple of weeks' time. So we're going to have to go back out and find a new person undertake that.
And she has been overseas for a period of time too, so we haven't been able to progress with that with her. So there has been a little change in, I guess, where we thought we were at with that project. But I guess in the meantime, to our advantage, because obviously the artwork does integrate with the terminal painting and a couple of other elements of the project as well, so we can have a quick review of that and just see what we can progress now and then what we can have as a artwork strategy or implementation plan to move forward as well, so we can piece that work together.
Yeah. Thank you. In terms of the show sales, as I indicated earlier, that's going to become part of the ground transport scope. That scope's been finalised in terms of what we're doing in front of the terminal, what we've decided to do right across the front of the terminal. And I think we're just reviewing. Yes.
So is that the shade area for the smoking area, or
no,
is that
this is the front of terminal. So this is going to be some nice, functionally designed but aesthetically pleasing shade sails across the front of the terminal between the arrivals and departures area right across the front of the terminal.
What's the status update of the shade for the smoking area?
That's all part of the landscaping project. So in that verge area. So I think we had in the program before about mid-October that will kick off. So I've actually got a meeting with our projects team tomorrow about finalising all the procurement of the different elements of that landscaping. We already have all the structural designs and the building permits and so forth for the installation of those shades. We just wanted to review that whole landscaping plan to make sure we're putting them in the right spot.
I guess I just felt like that we'd ask for some temporary or interim shade in the interim before these.
Yeah, I think you did talk about that too.
I thought it was clear, but is there any chance that a shade marking could go on?
There are only smokers. They put a heat next to their face.
It's very hot outside.
I suppose the only option for that would be something like your beach marquees that you'd get from Kmart or something. But
we use shade marquees for Welcome to Headland Night and stuff. I just thought that's what we were asking.
I would say they get taken down that night. They're not going to be left up there. So.
But we've got parking or people around.
No, we don't. Not for that task. No. Not to be putting things up and taking them down every day. So numbers are thinning out there, Kelly. So we can have a look at what we can do. I don't know if there is anything we've already got through community development, but if it's mid-October, when do you think installation would occur?
Installation for those in particular, I wouldn't say, would happen till mid-November because we have to do some demolition of those existing gardens.
6 weeks away.
Yeah.
And we've actually got an earlier hot season than what we normally get now.
I guess it was raised on the 13th of August, so I just... So happy if it can be explored, I just thought we'd sort of ask for that.
It'd be good to explore that.
Okay, we've talked about the verge where it's landscaping. Well, an area for the bike lane, so we will. That will also be scoped as a program of works. It will need to go under a structure in its own right as well because of the nature of that that model plane. It's 7 meters by 5 or 6 meters, solid stainless steel, highly polished. It's very heavy, and it's very bright and glaring under the sun, so it would need to go under a structure so it doesn't blind pilots, so to speak. There is a glare issue. Believe it or not, there are rules around glare and airports.
So no chrome allowed on cars at the airport?
But no, just on structures.
Keep your cars dirty.
But with that plane, it actually, once it's been out in the air for about 3 weeks, it actually does tarnishes, it goes off, yeah.
Yeah, but even in that short period, But ultimately, if that preserves its condition, I don't see that as a drawback. What we'd like to do is do something interpretive with the bike or something. Mm. It talks about Sir Charles Kingsford Smith and the history of that, his history with the airport, basically. Yeah, so that is being scoped to be part of the Roadworks program into that. The other things is the rubbish bin compound, pertinent handrails we've mentioned already, and that's all part of the ground transport works that we'll be doing. And the second exit plane out of the car. So that program is being developed now for completion in this financial period. Yeah, so that's all I had in the interim programs. And just on a projects update on other projects, the screening authority transition. Just to confirm that the equipment has been ordered and is due to be delivered towards the end of October and commissioned to go into operation from 1 November. So we had a sunset date with the old Qantas equipment that OTS had given us an extension until 31 October. Brett Caron is just reviewing that to see if he needs to extend that approval for that, given that whilst it all fits within program and we've got it delivered on time, if there's any slippage, we only have a few days. So he's just looking at that just to see. The other thing is we're now looking at, we've got a budget for this. We went through a tender process have a second, we can now provision a second screening lane within the secure area. The current equipment ordered is well under the budget, but we have tender quoted figures, and we're going to use some of that budget to actually put the second screening equipment in to further enhance and improve the actual speed through screening into the departure lounge area. So that equipment, we will be in the process of ordering that second block of equipment from now, basically. In terms of the services contract, that has been agreed and finalised. This is with MSS, which deals with how they run the screening points, their training and all the requirements to be a screening service provider. That contract, if it hasn't been executed, is very close to being executed and finalised. And so that pretty much wraps up that transition. So as from 1 November, we are fully transited to being this. We are technically now the Screen Authority, but we will have completed that transition program. In Genoa, in terms of the electoral remand, I'll let you talk to the final bullet points if that's okay.
Yep, sure. So we've got tech services out there at the moment working on that stage 3 of the electrical ring main. So that's to provide a substation in near opposite where the housing is, kind of between the housing and the workshop area in that space. So that's to upgrade all of the old transformers and so forth that are there now that are either no longer compliant or just can't give us the capacity that we need. That will also include high voltage supply from Horizon Power, which is a transformer that will be out on the main road and come through into the substation. The next stage of the work, and the gensets as well, so new gensets to support the airport power if it runs out, or not runs out, if it goes off, if Horizon Power have problems. Being at the end of that line, I know that Horizon Power do have quite a few problems out at that end, between kind of the walkabout, the airport, and even Rio Tinto. They all experience problems being at the end of that line. We're also looking at commencing the next stage of work, which is actually part of the logistics subdivision. So I'm kind of jumping through, but it all ties in with the electrical ring main. So we have a new substation 2 being constructed to supply the logistics subdivision. So we have the full package designed for that and will be going out to quote between our two preferred contractors out at the airport, which are Goodline and Tech Services. And then from that, we then connect through to the ASA on the opposite side, their fire station on the opposite side. So all of these are grouped together as separate projects, but they all obviously interlink and rely on each other. So we're working with Tech on that. Just I guess while we're talking about Tech Services, Kelly, in relation to your being more open and active about our advertising the projects and giving updates, Tech actually approached us today and they would like to put one of those banners along their workshop fence that they have there at the airport that talks about, you know, obviously advertising them as a business, but also putting the town of Port Hedland logo and advertising the airport infrastructure project. So they're going to be there for a while, so it's probably a really good opportunity for us to say, yes, this is happening. So we're going ahead with that as well. The Northern Apron extension, I think Brett's pretty much covered that. We are still looking at, with that money that is left over in that budget, how we need to progress that project between this year and next year, especially in consideration of the, I think there's a few extra proposed helicopter flights as well. So we need to make sure we've got provisions with everything else that's happening for them to have a helipad, and the logical spot is within that area as well. So I'm making provision for that. Transport logistics subdivision. So again, we've been putting all the pieces of the puzzle together between the review that Brent had done of the whole redevelopment program. We've changed some of the road alignments and particularly focusing on a few more lots having direct airside access because of, you know, the logical functional areas around that spot. We're also looking at, because of some of the outcomes from some drainage works and studies there, actually raising the levels of those lots as well, and tying in where all of these electrical substations sit. So we're just finalising now all of the detailed designs for that, and then we'll be tendering for construction essentially over the cyclone period. Then they can start construction after the end of the cyclone period and get those lots online. Services, water and sewer. So this is part of the, I think it's a 2 or 3 year, depending on whether it's water or sewer, program to work with the Water Corporation to bring their main services through to the airport and to upgrade the water main services through to the airport as well. So following Water Corp has very stringent processes, and the first stage is to do a scoping study and feasibility report about the alignments and the kind of high level design of what those services would look like. We've engaged a consultant to do that now, and following our Water Corp's processes, going through the consultation process with them. Some of the issues I guess we're dealing with now of that one is the alignments of the proposed services, because we have to deal with main roads, road reserves, our own road reserves along Warwick Road, and then looking at possibly having easements through the airport land as well, just making sure that doesn't have any impact on future development and so forth. So that's all part of the scoping study, is looking at all of those risks and making sure we're putting everything in the right locations. Just as a side mention, I guess part of the logistics subdivision, water connection we don't believe will be an issue in terms of timeframes of bringing that on board. The sewer is the one that's going to take a bit longer to process through with Water Corporation and get all of that commissioned. So part of the logistics subdivision is they will be developing up an interim measure and likely to be then put back on the developers, and part of their leasing arrangements is they might have to have an on-site sewer disposal type arrangement, whether it's septics or something more complicated. Mm. And that will be considered, I guess, as part of their leasing provisions, that perhaps it will be a reduced rate while they have a lesser service, and then when we bring the sewer online, their rates might go up or something like that. So. That's just making sure we've got all bases covered in the time frames that we need.
So, Juliana, would that mean there needs to be a lot more digging again regarding the sewers?
For
disrupting, you know, the roadways or anything?
Be. There'll probably be one crossing along the main road, which we can actually choose to bore under the road, which will probably be the best way of doing it.
Right.
But everything else would happen within the verge area itself, so... Yeah, minimal disturbance. And we had considered it too when, say, for example, the Warwick Bridge was done, is making sure we had a service corridor to go through there as well.
Okay.
Yeah, thank you. I think by way of explanation for the timeframes, the water's coming, what's it, about 4K, something like that?
Yeah.
About 4K, but the sewer's coming about 13 kilometres. So, but it's following reserves to get to get to where it needs to get to. Mm-hmm. Okay, that's...
Thanks, Janella. Yes, Brett, thanks.
That's it. Thank you very much.
Are there any more questions around the table? Brett. All looks like it's moving along quite smoothly. I was at the airport yesterday and noticed that the arrivals toilets there were looking quite amazing. So thanks to everybody for their hard work. I know Janella and Russell, you've worked very, very hard on in your department, and also Brett and all your staff as well. Thank you very much. It's starting to really take shape now. I think we're going to have a beautiful airport early next year. Thank you. Right, with 9.1, I apologise, I didn't read the disclaimer regarding the public being cautioned. It just reads the same as the opening of the public question time. Thank you. And, item 10, reports of officers, if we have no other presentations, reports of officers, item 10, so 10.1, corporate services, 10.1.1, Port Hedland International Airport Committee meeting dates and times, and the recommendation is on page 10, so you'll notice that the dates running from December the 3rd through to bi-monthly to December, February, April, June, August, October, and December. Any points of clarification?
No
points,
so moved.
Okay, thank you. Moved by Councillor Hunt and seconded Councillor Butson. All those in favour? Okay, thank you. Let the vote be recorded. Thank you. Now moving on to page 13 to 10.1.2, Airport Committee Membership Community Member. And recommendation is on page 13. So I believe we may have some points of clarification around the table. And for this discussion. And I am also happy if anybody wants to move to suspend standing orders, please, or need a mover and a seconder for that if you so wish.
I'd like to move that we're going to suspend standing orders just to move discussion over a number of people.
Do I have a seconder for going in?
Happy to second.
All right, thank you. So move Councillor Button, second Mayor Howlett. All those in favour? Okay, let the vote be recorded. Thank you. So we have suspended standing orders. All right, so move Mayor Howlett and seconded Councillor Hunt. All those in favour, we've gone back, move back into standing orders. All right, let the vote be recorded. Thank you.
Madam Chair, I move the recommendation as is.
All those in favour? All those against? Can I have...
Sorry, I thought you voted for.
Yeah. I didn't know, sorry.
Can we re-vote again?
Oh, yeah, sorry.
So those
thank you.
In favour?
Those in favour.
Thank you. Two for. Yes. All those against?
So,
all right.
My clarification, I'm sorry, there was already a vote. There was four hands went up for the first vote, and you're changing the vote?
I didn't see that, CEO. Sorry.
It's okay. Mm-hmm. I saw four hands go up for the vote. So.
Did anyone see any hands? Joe? What did you see?
I saw four.
All right. So.
Did you vote?
I need four more clarification on this. I'm sorry, I need to be guided by this as I'm only the presiding member. I'm being
so
deputy, deputy chair.
What happens now?
Sorry, my observation was that you put the vote after the mover and seconder, and I did see four hands go up initially.
I didn't put my hand up, but I did move my hand with my pen. But I didn't put my hand up. So I'm sorry if that did throw people. I do apologise for that.
So,
please guide me on my apologies.
What's
I need
the
guidance.
Normal Act provisions, or what do we normally do if someone mistakenly?
So,
well, I guess if you're saying that you're retracting the vote, the best way to deal with this will be to put it straight through to council for council to make a decision. So. That all elected members get involved in the decision.
Okay.
Apologies for that, but I understood that also Councillor Butson.
I might be flicking with my pen, but I didn't put my hand up. I just want to pop my mic on like that.
Okay.
That's okay.
So, CEO, where do we go from here? Thank you.
Based on the advice from the Coordinator of Governance, in terms of recording this vote, I don't think there is a vote to record.
Yep, right. Just take it through to the ordinary council meeting.
This item will now be referred directly to the October ordinary council meeting for council's deliberation.
So we're unable to go into debate?
No. We've taken.
No, we've moved and seconded a motion.
Yeah. And vote is?
Well, confusion too. Yeah. There's discrepancies in the CEO governance and what fellow elected members saw. So in light of the discrepancies, the item goes to the ordinary council meeting.
All right, so that members of the committee and found the table because of...
I'm happy to move a new motion that in light of the discrepancies, that this item be presented at the next ordinary council meeting. Happy to move that. Yep, I'll second that.
So moved to Mayor Howlett and seconded Councillor Butson that the item goes to the next meeting. All those in favour? All right, let the vote be recorded. So with apologies to Public Gallery that we will be going to, this item will be moved to our next ordinary council meeting, which I believe is the in October. 22nd of October.
Fourth Wednesday.
The fourth Wednesday of every month. Yeah. Okay, thank you. So I'll now move on to item 10.2, Office of the CEO. 10.2.1, Port Hedland International Airport Projects Update, September 2014. And we have a recommendation on page 16. The Airport Committee note the Port Hedland International Airport Projects Update September 2014 report with a simple majority vote required.
So moved.
No points of clarification, so that's all right. Moved, Councillor Hunt. Seconded, Mayor Howlett. All those in favour? Thank you. Let the votes be recorded. Thank you. Now going to page 21. Item 10.2.2, Port Hedland International Airport Conditions of Use Document, which you've all received your document. Recommendation on page 21 that the Airport Committee recommends the Council note the proposed Port Hedland International Airport Conditions of Use Document and note that the airport users will be engaged prior to the Conditions of Use documents implemented. Simple majority vote required. Any points of clarification?
Question, Madam Chair, it states that it'll sort of come into effect or apply post 31st of October. Is that
what we're sort of thinking in terms of a time frame, and when are we planning the engagement with the stakeholders?
Can I direct that through the CEO to Brett Rees?
Thank you. Through you, Madam Chair. Yeah, the intention of this document obviously is to be a legal document that enunciates our terms of use for the airport, principally for any aircraft operator that does not have a permit from the council. The intention is to send that document out to all stakeholders and invite comments on the document, but not to have an extended debate on this particular document. This document is a well-understood document that is very commonplace at other airports, but certainly we are inviting comment. The document would go live from 1 November, effectively going forward, but we've got a month, I guess, to engage with stakeholders and get any comments they may have on the documentation.
Will we dialogue direct with any significant stakeholders as opposed to just letters?
We will. I will be talking to the key representatives from each of the airlines. One of the things, of course, with this document is it is written in the strongest possible terms to benefit the airport, because it is not an agreement. It is a document that dictates our terms of use. So, whilst happy to take constructive comments, we're not going to get into dialogue where we water down the document. Mm-hmm. That's not its intention.
Thank you, Mr. Rees. Yeah. Any more?
Happy
points?
To move.
Moved, Councillor Mayor Howlett, seconded. Councillor Butson, all those in favour? All right, thank you. And I note that a lot of hard work has gone into putting the conditions of use together. And thank you for that. It's something that's obviously been well overdue, and it's great that we've got it on the map now. Thank you for that. I'm moving over to page 27. Item 11, late absence submitted by the presiding member of the committee, there are nil. Item 12, motions of which previous notice has been given, there is nil. Item 13, confidential items, I believe there's nil. Item 14, attendance at the next meeting via a teleconference. Do we have anybody for the next meeting via teleconference?
I haven't had any requests.
No requests? All right, so there'll be nil. Item 15, applications for leave of absence. So I go around the table from my left, Mayor Howlett.
No.
No, thank you, and welcome back after your very long spell away. And Councillor Hunt?
22nd of October to the 25th of November.
Can I just intervene here for
yes.
a moment?
Oh, yeah, please. Yeah.
Can I just suggest, for elected members, I think that the requests for leave of absence need to go straight to OCM, and they can be submitted via an email. I think there's some difficulty if there's an expectation that we're going to pick up all the leave of absences out of a recommendation to the committee sometimes with the closeness of the committee meetings to an OCM. So certainly if an elected member is not going to be here for the next committee meeting and knows that, I think this is the appropriate place to tell the committee. In terms of leave of absences from council, because this really doesn't carry any weight until such time as council votes on it. So I'd request that elected members would submit their leave of absence either directly to myself or to governance for insertion at OCM meetings. Please.
So, CEO, would that mean that item 15 would eventually not be part of the agenda?
I think we'd lapse it off this agenda template, but notwithstanding that some elected members and committee members want to indicate that they're not available for the committee. It seems more recently that we're using this process through committees to advise council of being an absentee from an OCM. I just want to try to clarify the difference between the two roles.
Are there any clarification on that from anybody? Any questions?
So having said that, I have submitted my leave of absence for the OCM, but I will be present for the next airport committee.
All right, which is in December.
Could I just defer to the coordinator of governance?
Oh, yes, thanks.
Can I
just
suggest that rather than actually taking this item off the agenda, we might wish to amend the wording so we could call it applications for leave of absence from the next airport committee meeting, so we know that we're just talking about the airport meeting as such.
Well, I think that's probably good. All right, thanks.
Thank you.
A point of clarification, should a emergency meeting arise in a period of time, then that might be an issue if you just said you're not going to be at, you know, the regular scheduled meetings, then you'd need to know whether or not someone was going to be around town.
If I can, through the chair, so in terms of airport, using airport committee as an example, mm-hmm. If there was a leave of absence, obviously we do have, certainly for elected members, we do have proxies
yes.
available. And we should use, and we should look to use those to ensure that we have a consistent number of elected members representative on the committee. It's difficult at a community member perspective, because if there was something at short notice, whether they're even available because of their other you know, work and business requirements, I'm not quite sure. But otherwise, people can still be an apology for a meeting.
Okay.
And again, sorry if I can.
Thank you.
I guess the basis of the airport committee is essentially making recommendations to council.
Well, that's a good discussion. I'll just continue around the table as it is in our agenda. So I'd like to now go to Councillor Butson. Any leave of absence? Okay, and none for myself. Thank you. Thanks, Councillor Hunt. Item 16, closure, 16.1, date of the next meeting, next airport committee meeting of council will be held on Wednesday, the 3rd of December 2014 at 12:30 p.m. in council chambers. And 16.2, you know, further business, either presiding member declare the meeting closed at 1:21 p.m.